Y'all just get better and better and better. And you already started out wonderful. So thank you very much. I appreciate it so much. I know the congregation does. The people listening to the recording do. It's just so powerful. What a wonderful blessing to Howard and Rick as well. The way you lead us, it's perfect. It's a whole lot better than that parable, isn't it? I mean, what's the lesson of this parable? That God is hard of hearing? And you know, so you have to keep repeating yourself over and over again? That God has dementia, and so you have to keep repeating and repeating because God forgets what you're saying to Him? What is it that you just keep nagging God until He gives you what you want? Not because He wants to be with you, which is what prayer is about, but to get rid of you. Not to draw you closer, but to get rid of you. Does that sound like God to you?
No.
No, it doesn't sound like God to me either. And that's kind of hard because this parable seems to be suggesting that. We all love underdog stories, underdog movies. Rocky, okay? Rocky's one of the ultimate underdog movies and stories. But what about the 69 Mets? The Miracle Mets, that's what they were called. Remember that? Remember in 1951? Of course not. You guys are too young. But back in 1951, the Giants win the pennant. The Giants win the pennant. Remember that? You've at least heard the call of that. How that? They were like 13 and a half games out. Then won next 36 out of 43 games. Boom! And they end up, there's Bobby Thompson, bottom of the ninth, two, all that. So it's powerful. It can motivate you. It can inspire you. It can thrill you and excite you. We all love those kind of stories. And here's the thing. If we want to win, even if we're the underdog, if we want to win, we have to keep playing and praying. We can't quit. We can't give in. We can't give up. We can't lose heart. When we lose heart, we lose our focus and we lose our sense of direction and we get irritable and cynical and all of a sudden our GPS goes haywire and all roads lead to nowhere and we're just lost with no feelings of support and we just want to say, well, you know, that's the way it goes and we can't lose heart. Otherwise, we become resigned and we get weary and we get numb and we get despondent. We can't lose heart because otherwise we just say, well, that's just the way of the world. And we withdraw and we hide. But this widow knows what that great hockey player Wayne Gretzky said. You miss 100% of the shots you never take. She knew you had to keep taking your shot. You just keep going. You become the energizer Christian. You just keep going and going and going. This widow knew what she wanted. She knew who could give it to her. And she knew she couldn't control whether he did or not. But she knew she could control what she could do. And so what she did was she continued on. What she did is she continued on. This stubborn, determined, persistent widow does not lose heart. She stiffens her backbone. You can almost hear the Rocky theme music beginning to play. Softly in the back. Remember, bum, 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 bum. It's very soft, very underneath the whole thing, but it's playing. And she wakes up in the morning and she straightens out her jacket and she pulls down her hat and she sets her jar and she marches down to that courthouse. And she enters that courtroom like a tornado. And she looks up at that judge. Now, you've heard of Wonder Woman. This is Wonder Widow. And she takes her finger and she's pointing it at that judge. You will give me justice. Do you hear me? You will give me justice. And you will give me justice now. And going on and on until finally he has to call the bailiffs. Escort her out. She's kicking and screaming the whole way. You will give me justice. You will give me justice. And out all the way out the courtroom. Next morning, she gets up. Guess what she does? Doesn't stop her. Rocky music's getting a little bit louder. She goes down there, and this time she has a sign. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. For the Lord your God is Lord of lords, and he executes justice for the orphans and the widows. And she's got that big sign, and the judge is blushing, and she starts scolding him again. You will give me justice. You will give me justice. You will give me justice. Until finally he has to call the bailiffs back up. Escort her out. Next morning, there she is, once again determined, marches right down, comes into the place like she owns it. Goes, now she's got a t-shirt on. Your honor has no honor. Oh yeah, she ain't backing down, she ain't retreating, she ain't hiding, she is going down and down and down. She keeps showing up, she keeps getting thrown out. She shows up, it's gotten to the point she knows the first name of the bailiffs. Knows all about their families, brings them home-cooked apple pies. They've got a relationship going on. But every morning she gets up and the music is getting louder and louder and louder. She is not backing down. She's not going to quit. She's not going to give up. She keeps going on because our Wonder Widow is persistent. She is relentless. She is determined. And she keeps coming and coming and coming. She knows life isn't fair, but she's not going to roll over and die. She knows life isn't right, but she's not going to roll over and take it. This judge may not be supporting her, but the Word of God is. And she knows that the Lord our God is for the powerless. The Lord our God is for those who are trampled down, for those who are oppressed. She knows that the Word of God supports her. She knows that the love of God supports her. She knows that the grace of God empowers her. And she is not going to stop just because life is unfair. She keeps coming and coming and pounding away at the unfairness of life. She's bludgeoning all the meanness and the hate and all the... In fact, in verse 5, that the last part of verse 5, the actual word there, the Greek word is hypopiazo. Hypopiazo. And you know what that means? It means to give a black eye to strike under the eye. She is giving injustice and meanness and unfairness a black eye. She is giving this judge a black eye. She is relentless and she is not going to stop until finally he says, all right, all right, all right. Enough. Enough. I'm just going to give her what she wants so she won't give me a black eye anymore. And here's the thing. Wonder Widow wins. Wonder Widow beats down the injustices of the world and wins. She wins. And here's the thing. God is on our side. We're not fighting God. We're fighting injustice. In the movie Network, remember that movie? We're mad as... Well, I'll say heck. We're mad as heck and we're not going to take it anymore. Remember? He gets everybody to open up their window and throw it out. We're mad as heck and we're... He's talking about all the injustices, all the meanness, all the hate. We're mad as heck and we're not going to take it anymore. And guess what? God is throwing open the windows of heaven and saying, I'm mad as heck and I'm not going to take it anymore. He is mad at people using his name to hide their white supremacy. He's mad at people using his word to condemn people rather than to accept people. He's mad at people who want to make the church some kind of a secret club where everybody looks alike, votes alike, thinks alike. And he says, that's not the body of Christ. The body of Christ accepts diversity. The body of Christ celebrates our diversity. The body of Christ understands that every member has a contribution to make, to help make the body whole. That's the vision. That's the intention of creation. That's what God's design was all about. That's what we're called to do, to fight. Yes, there is unfairness. Yes, there is meanness. Yes, there is hatred. But we don't resign ourselves for it. We fight against it. We say, that's not the vision God has. That's not what we're supposed to be. This is a parable about prayer. But it's not the kind of prayer that says, oh God, give me $1 million. Oh God, help me win the lottery. Oh God, give me that promotion that I want. No, the kind of prayer that Jesus is talking about is that Wonder Widow type of prayer, that squeaky wheel type of prayer, that prayer that says, I'm not going to accept anything less than what's right. The kind of prayer that gives an uppercut to meanness and hatred and unfairness, who is not afraid to give injustice a black eye. I've told you before about the story of Mother Teresa when she was going to visit this very prominent Washington lawyer who also owned sports teams, Edward Bennett Williams. And so she at that time was trying to raise money and raise funds for an AIDS hospice center. And so she made the appointment to go see him, and he knew what she was going to want, but he was very reluctant. He didn't want to be giving her any money. So he decided, I know what I'll do. Does that phrase sound familiar? I know what I'll do. I'll politely listen to her, and then I'll tell her no. So he welcomes her into the office, and here you have little Mother Teresa, who I think, believe it or not, was actually shorter than me. Not too many of those people around on the planet, but she was shorter, all right? And there he is at this big mahogany table right there, okay? And she's in her little white sari, very much looking like a little widow, okay? And he's got the gold cufflinks and the designer suit and everything, and she makes her pitch, talks about hospice, how important it is, how the AIDS epidemic is destroying lives, and what they can do, and they're trying to raise money, and would he please make a contribution? And he says, Mother Teresa, your work is amazing. And all of us are inspired and just want you to know that we support you, but no, I will not be able to make a financial contribution. And she says, let us pray. So they have the prayer, finish up with the amen, let the church say amen. Finishes up the prayer, amen. But instead of leaving, she repeats the phrase. I mean, she repeats her whole sales pitch. Word for word, according to William. Word for word. Says the whole thing, and then afterwards he very politely says, again, we all appreciate your work, but no, I'm afraid the answer is no. She says, let us pray. Has the prayer. Again, instead of leaving, gives the pitch again. Exactly the same, word for word. At the end of the pitch, he says, no. She says, let us pray. She doesn't leave, repeats the pitch. Over and over and over again until finally he said, all right, I'll go get my checkbook. That's what persistent prayer does. Persistent prayer will eventually get us the kingdom of God. That's what we do. We do justice, let us pray. Do justice, let us pray. Do justice, let us pray. Prayer is not the opiate of the people. It's the caffeine for the world changers. That's what we do. That's what we're called to do. It's our energy drink. We come into the Lord's table and we are energized by God's presence. Energized by God's grace. We are absolutely ready to go out into the world to show the world what God's kingdom is supposed to look like. And it isn't supposed to look like the way it's looking things right now. We're supposed to change that. We are participating in an uprising against injustices and disorders of the world. So Jesus says, keep on praying. Don't lose heart. Your prayers are heard and justice is coming. Our prayers do not go to some heavenly call center. Your call is important to us. Please stay on the line. While elevator music is playing, so hoping that we'll go to sleep and just drown out our voices. No. Jesus is saying, no. What does he say at the end of the parable? Do you remember what he said? When I come back, will I find faith? Jesus knows that we're living in a world that has injustice and disorder and hatred and meanness and division. But it's not a world he expects us to accept. It's a world he expects us to change. And he's given us the power and the tools in order to bring about that change. And he expects us to change it. And so he says, when I come back, will I find faith? Not just people who believe in God, but people who believe and are working for God's vision of what creation is supposed to be. People who celebrate diversity. People who embrace the other. People who refuse to take no as an answer. Continue to work for the change. Continue to embrace God's vision, God's intention, God's design for all of creation. And continues and continues and continues. And so Jesus says, when I come back, will I find faith? Will I find faith on earth? And he continues, and he says, will I find faith in Don Brammer? Will I find faith in you? Will I find faith in the church? Will I find faith in my disciples? Will I find people who are willing to fight injustice until injustice has the black eye? Don't lose heart. Seek what's right. Because we've read the end of the book. We know. God wins. The widow wins. We win. And all the children of God win. Because our victory is in Jesus Christ. And He is our Lord and Savior. So when He comes again, will He find faith? Oh yeah. Oh yeah, He's going to find faith. And He's going to find that we have reclaimed God's territory, reclaimed God's kingdom, until we are more in line with God's intention from the very beginning. This is what I intended. This is what we're supposed to look like. And if you want to see a small little glimpse of what the kingdom, what the creation is supposed to look like, go to the church. There's a church in West Palm Beach. You should go there. You want to talk about a mixed up crazy group? You talk about diversity. You talk about a need for a miracle. And yet these people are able to pull it together to continue to share the love and the grace of God to all people. And we understand that. We may not be able to pull it off, but we don't quit doing it. We keep at it again and again and again. Amen. Amen.